Hey, are you tired of meeting with prospects only to have them put you off again and again, turning them into yet another missed opportunity? Are you tired of trying to do the same things in meetings and not seeing any improvement in the amount of business you're closing? Do you want to stop giving your time away in hopes that a client will buy something or someday transfer their assets? Well, Whiteboard University is our two-hour live workshop where we will teach you how to have engaging meetings with every prospect and client you meet with, how to quantify your advice so prospects are willing and excited to pay you a financial planning fee, and finally, where we teach you how to explain financial strategies in a dynamic, interesting way that will separate you from all the boring advisors who do the same old thing. If you're serious about having better client meetings and closing business faster, visit WhiteboardU.com today and sign up for one of our live workshops in November. Whiteboard University offers a 100% money-back guarantee if we don't help you improve your communication and meeting skills. That's WhiteboardU.com. We'll see you there.
I'm thinking we should call this Leadership Opportunities instead of Leadership Mistakes. I don't know if that...
Nope, we're calling it Leadership Mistakes.
Don't do these things. Today we want to talk about how do you improve your effectiveness as a leader. And I think a big part of that is knowing, like, what is your baseline? Like, how do you measure it? What does it mean to be a good leader? I will always default to, like, good leadership means we're getting results and people have jobs and, you know, the kind of foundational side of it. But I know it gets much more nuanced. There's books written, podcasts on the emotional side of a culture. How are you having fun? Work-life balance. So when you think of that, when you think of measuring leadership, what comes to mind for you?
Well, I think that, yes, you know, let's not forget that the purpose of a business is to stay in business, is to create profit so it can sustain itself. So a good leader does stay in business. They get results from their people. Mm-hmm. I think that a great leader gets the most out of their people. So it taps into who they are. I think a great leader picks the right people to be on the team and it keeps the wrong people off the team. Mm-hmm. That one is big. I think about this from, you know, like a coaching perspective. You know, I had to draft all the kids in the recreational league that I coach in. Everybody makes a team, right? Mm-hmm. So there's assessments and not tryouts. But I still, like, there's a kid that, and I remember this. This was like 3 weeks ago. And this kid's last name. I remember his last name. And he was just physically awesome, like just looked like a baseball player, is dressed like a baseball player, like he just looked, but he made a few mistakes. And I'm standing next to these coaches I coach with, and I just said, kid's a stud, but watch his attitude for the next 20 minutes. Mm. I was like, we are not picking him. And it was in the first 5 minutes I made that decision. Mm. And I think about the best decision I made today was not having that kid. And I wish him the best and I want him to do well, but just not on my team. Yeah. Is it as a leader, you have to protect your team and your company by keeping people off of it. And sometimes you bring the wrong people on, and the best thing you can do is get them off as quick as you can. So that one is a big one to me.
Yeah, I love that one. You feel like the only way to measure it feedback from the people that work with that person?
Oh, absolutely not.
Is that the truest form, though? I mean, you can measure it based on profitability.
You figured out that we had hired the wrong person in one interaction. Do you remember this? You would ask them to go pick up something.
Oh, yeah.
It was offsite. Mm-hmm. And it was like 8 minutes from here. And they just gave you a sigh. They had worked here like 2 weeks.
Yeah, you feel like you were still in like the sweet period where...
Like, this should be the honeymoon. Agreeable.
Yeah, that's right? The honeymoon.
You should be happy. You should just be...
Yeah, whatever we ask. That's right.
I'd love to. And like, even if you're faking it, whatever, you know, like... But yeah, it is... It was this little thing of like, okay, if you can't do that, then that's what I think about, like with that player that we didn't pick. It was like, if you're going to be that upset by that small mistake, then everything else is going to be worse.
Be a distraction,
yeah. Right.
So I think, yeah, I agree that like protecting the team is a big part of good leadership. But if we were to assess leaders, how and we have a lot of leaders listening, mm-hmm. how can they know? How can any of us know besides kind of our feelings on a daily basis or some feedback from our team members periodically? Is assessing the team. So if I had 13, 14 employees, is the only way to know this person is a good leader to ask the people that work with them.
Well, that's the problem, is that they might be a great teammate. They might, people at their level might really like them, mm-hmm. but if they're not producing and doing the work, that's a different,
as a leader for me.
Yeah. As a leader, what I would say is you have a specific role to do. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the reason I didn't want that kid on my team, and the reason we didn't want that person to work here anymore, is because number one, they just weren't going to do their job very well. And number two, they weren't going to be good for the rest of the team.
That's right.
But I think as a leader, it's a different level. You have different measurements.
Yep.
Right. Which is, it's not just how they relate to other people. It's, do I think you're going to be able to do this job well? And unfortunately, and I think about someone else that, you know, had worked here, it's like, you know, they were hired and they said they could do all these things. And then you gave them a chance to do one of those things and they just failed.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, how do you think you did? And they're like, I think I did great. And you're like, mm-hmm. okay. And other people might have said, oh, you did great. And it's like, yeah. No. I mean, sometimes a leader is just, you have a very different perspective. I mean, it literally is like, if you've ever been in band, and they do this in football now too, of like, there's that camera that's way up above.
Yeah.
And like, they can see things that the players can't see,
mm-hmm.
right? So as a player, you might go like, oh, that play went really well. But if you look at it from above, it's like, no, four people missed things. The outcome worked. But like, if we do that again, we're going to get crushed,
yep.
right? So a leader's job is difficult because their perspective is very different than everybody else's.
Let me ask it in a different way real quick, because I think I want to start kind of high level. I think the right people on the team and assessing them is a key part of leadership. But if we were able to, for everyone listening, give them a leadership score,
mm-hmm.
how would we get to that score? Do we get to that score by looking at their profit? Do we get to that score by, you have to ask their team members to assess them, because that's the only, the people that work with them on a daily basis are the best measure.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one's tough because the people that work with them may not really understand leadership
yeah.
because they're not in it. What is a way, if someone's listening, to say, okay, I think I'm a good leader, but I'm not sure. What is the best way to measure the effectiveness of a leader, to almost for any of us to get some kind of like a leadership score?
Well, I think about if we use a coaching, how do you know you're a great coach? I mean, there's a guy named Kalen DeBoer, Kalen's first name. He was a coach at the University of Sioux Falls, where I used to live, a tiny little Christian school in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. He coaches his team now. They're called Alabama.
Nice.
And he progressed. And it's like, how do you know he was a good, because he got results from the people that he had.
Mm.
And in a way that was healthy. He didn't like burn through people, but like yeah. everywhere he went, there was more success and people liked and wanted to work with him. They missed him when he was gone. So I would think that one of the ways to measure leadership is that someone's leadership is your effectiveness of getting production out of people. Mm-hmm. Not that they're machines, but it's like they are part of a larger purpose. Is, are you all reaching the goals that you set out together
mm-hmm.
To achieve? So I think that leaders get results.
Yeah. So I think there's some measure of the turnover.
Yeah.
To some degree. Obviously, there's some exceptions to that. People move out of town or something. But
right.
So I think if you are bringing the right people on the team, keeping them,
mm-hmm.
And then I think one, setting goals. So one thing we run into a lot with our community, and it's a huge point of frustration.
Yeah, I know where you're going to go in this. Yeah.
Is that a lot of advisors will not fill out scorecards.
Yeah.
They will, we're asking on a monthly basis, submit your metrics so that we can use those metrics to make better choices. And more than half won't find the time to do it.
Why do you think that is?
What we know is they have plenty of time because they're not crushing. Like a lot of advisors are like, I know I want to do more. And so then we have to take a step back and say, okay, well, let's look at your schedule. Okay, why are you doing this? Stop doing that. Okay, you have 30 minutes once a month to go through and just fill in these metrics. And so now what we're pivoting to is like, okay, maybe we need to make it easier for them to put the data in. Like,
yeah.
Even though instead of it taking them 20 minutes, what if it took 10? And that's helpful, but we also know the core issue is like, why aren't you doing it? And so I think as a leader, you need to, you know, have clear goals. You need to track your numbers so that you can make better choices. So I think for me, what I want for our listeners today is that like, there are some really tangible things that we could ask. And when we coach people, like if you're doing these seven things,
mm-hmm.
you are leading well.
I would think there's one that I think that you've helped us all get better at. And you can only do this in a healthy, mature environment. And I think some of you listening don't have a healthy or mature environment. But when you have people who are self-reporting, and I'll just say, I'm not going to dance around it, self-reporting failure, self-reporting, I didn't hit my goal, self-reporting, that could have gone better.
Yeah.
That is way better than, oh, I mean, I think it went pretty good. Like, by what measure?
Yeah.
Like the amount of hours you put into it, like, no, like that's not like it's, I think a measure of leadership is when people on your team feel safe enough to say, that didn't go well because they're not, and it's not going to cost them their job, right?
Yeah.
And or to say like, I didn't succeed in that. I didn't reach. That's not going well, and I own that. Mm. Like that, you have to be really healthy and mature, and feel safe to say that. And I think that versus most work environments that I've ever seen or heard of is people are just afraid to tell the flipping truth. You know, it's like, guys, we're sucking right now, or we don't want to, or you don't even create metrics or goals to reach because you're afraid you're not going to reach them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think as a good leadership is people are not confused or there's an agreement on what success is.
Yeah.
I think if you lead well, and I failed at that in the past because it was just like, let's just work hard. And then in hindsight, you're like, wait, why didn't this work? And it's like, oh, I didn't know that's the thing we're going for. Or I over-communicated ideas with the team. And I realized there's a section of the company that gets thrown off by that. They think when I share an idea, it means we're changing things. It's like, no, I'm just talking out loud. Okay. Yeah. There's a certain group of people that can handle that. So I think my hope is for you listening that you're seeing a growth curve in your leadership that you can actually put your finger on. Because if your leadership development is trial and error, you're going to frustrate yourself and a lot of people. Like there has to be intentionality behind this.
Yeah.
The hope is, and I'm part of a group called C12. We meet for an entire day once a month. We get feedback on our business. Once a year, we have to have our business analyzed. And part of that is we have members of the group come and interview members of our team.
Ouch.
They're really going to start enforcing this. Because what they say is it's really important not for us to hear just from the CEO,
yeah,
but to actually realize like, hey, CEO, you're saying this, but you're missing this. And so even if it's not you, this is a benefit I have for my company. I pay to have someone else come in and coach my team members. So it creates a place for them to process things, which I've learned allows them to come to me with thought out frustrations. Hey, I missed this, but here's why I missed it. And here's my plan to fix it.
Right.
And so at times, like what I've learned is I have to outsource some of the accountability and coaching in order to create an environment to where if everyone on the team is not by default introspective, desiring to grow and learn, how can I facilitate a little bit of that? Because it does help the company.
Yeah, I just think that rare for most company environments and cultures to be able to talk about this isn't going well. Like I just find that most people want to. And not that they want to like look good, but they're just afraid to go, yeah, we're behind on that. I mean, if you ask me like, what's three things in the last 6 months that have not gone well that you were responsible for, Andy, I'd be like, I only get three. I could give you more, right?
Yep.
And it's not a lack of effort, but it could be maybe it was lack of effort sometimes, but it also could be like, it was the wrong strategy, or we sent three emails. We should have sent six, or we just didn't take enough time, or the pricing wasn't right. Like, I think that a great measure of leadership is, do people feel safe to be really honest about the situation? And I would also say that a really healthy leadership is you don't run your company on feelings. How do you feel today? Like, because people could be bringing stuff from somewhere else that affects your feelings versus like, and other times it's you're driven by leadership. It's never enough. It's always more, more, more. And so something that you've done well is here's a clear goal and we're going to go celebrate that goal. Mm-hmm. Like when we're doing well, but also here's a clear goal when we haven't hit it, we're going to be really honest about what's not going well. We're going to change stuff.
Okay.
I just find that many work environments, people are just not willing to have that difficult conversation.
Yeah. I think good leaders communicate that, essentially saying, we will celebrate when we have wins.
Yeah.
Hey, team, my goal and my hope is that we all have clarity at all times on what success looks like. And if you ever don't, you need to ask me. I think part of me is just assumes like, of course, everyone will know that.
Yeah.
That I think a good leader is continuously setting expectations. And expectations can be, it's not just, hey, we're making more money. It's my expectations. This is how we communicate to each other. Hey, let's talk. Let's not just put our core values on the wall, but let's unpack each one. Hey, once per week, we're going to talk about each core value to make sure that we all understand. One of ours is, extreme ownership. Like, what does that mean? Because it may mean something different than you, but we need to all in this office have a shared definition of this so that it's very clear when we're living it out or when we're not.
Yeah.
And so I think good leadership to me is communication, which again leads with curiosity, but also expectation setting. Because it is, if you're not leading well, if people just start in their job and they're just making mistakes as they go and you're pointing out mistakes,
yeah,
when there wasn't great training, there wasn't great expectation setting, And a lot of this, if you're in an organization, if you're a solo advisor or you have one or two team members, these things are all true. Even if you're by yourself, you're leading yourself. Mm-hmm. Set good expectations for yourself. Celebrate with yourself. I don't think there's a point of or size of company to where leadership all of a sudden becomes important.
Yeah.
And then before that, you're free to just hope it works out.
So what is it? What is a way, like, what are some questions that you've asked your team? You would go, uh-oh, that means I'm not leading well. If they can't answer certain questions, I'm thinking of how do you know if you're winning in your job? Like, how do you know if you're succeeding in your mm-hmm. position? If they go, I don't know, maybe I just come to work, you know, versus because it, and or how do you know if you're failing? You know, like, what are the signs of things aren't think like that things are not going well and you need to change? Because I know what those things are for me personally, but I think that there's other people, maybe even administrators, where it's like, you know, how do you know if you're failing? If they're like, I don't really know. It's like, well, how many times does an application have to be resubmitted? Or right. how fast do you get these things from the time that, you know, it started to the time it's closed, right? Or, yep. You know, like, those are things you could measure. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I'm trying now to lean towards the encouraging and positive mm-hmm. positioning of things. I think I went through just a season of life that was one difficult for me personally, which then spilled over into the workplace to where it was like pointing out, like, yeah. not wins
yeah.
too much. And it was like, let's try something different. Why isn't this working? We're not having
right.
amazing success. And so I'm thankful I've been able to shift to say, what are the wins we can get? Hey, why didn't that work? How can it be better? That I'm right. bringing a more often than not a positive
right.
posture.
Yeah.
And what that does help with is that when I have to come in a little more intense, it's, I think, felt, because it's like, hey, that's not baseline.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
okay, everybody yeah. pay attention. And so when I always want everybody on my team, from relationship managers, ops people, junior advisors, full-time advisors, like, what does it look like to be successful?
Yeah.
And I think everyone should have an answer to that question.
Yeah. What does it look like for me to be successful? Everyone yep. should have an answer. I think that on a practical level, you're hearing us right now, ask people that work with you and for you, what does it look like for you to be successful? Yeah.
And they should have a pretty position. It can be NIGOs. Like, how often do you submit something that gets rejected? You can't be perfect. They change forms on you, but like, it should be a low percentage.
Yeah.
What's right. the turnaround time from a service request coming in to when it's delivered on?
Yeah.
I think those are things that you can measure, that how quickly, what is the timeliness and effectiveness of a relationship manager's response? And when we hire somebody new, and this is where I've gotten better at communicating expectations, is I say, here are the two things we want to excel in: accuracy and timeliness. For the first 3 months, accuracy is your goal.
Right.
I'm not going to hold you. If something takes you a day longer to do it right, I'm okay with that. But over time,
it's done right.
Yeah,
right.
Over time, though, we're going to measure both of those things for
right.
you.
Right.
And it's funny. I look back, and while that feels simple, it's just expectation setting. 100%. I never presented it that way before.
100%.
It was, hey, we're going to train you and then just work hard.
100%. Yesterday, I'm coaching practice, and I literally, these are 16-year-olds. They have been playing baseball, a lot of them for 10 years, and a lot of them are just studs. And they, like, then I had 10 kids at practice, and they could not throw the ball to first base without it bouncing. I was like, guys, stop. Just stop. Everybody, and this is to the speed and accuracy thing. I was like, I don't care how fast you do it. Just get the ball and throw it to first. That we're speed, I'm going to take the speed out. It was just accuracy.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just accuracy, right? I said, just do it right. I don't care how fast you do it. And then they did it. And I said, okay, then we're going to speed up. So it's true in so many different areas of life of, like, let's not do it fast and wrong, mm-hmm. right? Because it ends up taking a lot longer. Mm-hmm. Ironically, if you do it fast and wrong, if you do yep. it slow and right, and then you get better at it and better at it. But it is a tremendous blessing to people for you to stop and say, here's how you measure what you do. Mm-hmm. So then you can celebrate them, and people want to be celebrated. And I just want to remind people, like, as a leader, you can do some of the smallest things. Mm-hmm. You're great here about having lunches for people. You know, the occasional gift. It is, we got the nerds clusters, right? We got those the other day, found out the team likes those. I was at Walmart, picked up a bag, and I actually put them in our ops person's office as a gift. And then she brought them and she said, you cannot keep these in my office. Like, you cannot do that. But my point is, like, that was $350 yeah. and it became this cool thing. And like, it's a fun thing, right? And I'm just saying, like, be thoughtful about those things. And that will actually really separate you as a leader.
You know, what's cool is that there's like generations that have experienced like the invention of the airplane, the
yeah.
car, internet.
Internet, yeah, yeah.
We have gummy clusters. We'll remember. We'll tell our kids
something. I will.
Like, I remember when that was. That came
I
out.
Remember when those didn't. I remember a world where those didn't exist, and they were like, "How did you live?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I don't know, but I did." Hey, let me ask you one more thing about measuring your effectiveness as a leader. I want to, because it starts with ourselves. What are ways that you measure how you're leading yourself? This could be a whole nother episode, right? But you personally, if I say, Stan, if you're leading yourself well in your day-to-day life, what are those things that you go, I know that I'm leading myself well if I'm doing this, 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 and this, if I'm telling myself this, or if I'm listening to this, or I'm physically doing this, or I'm physically not doing this, like what are the things that you go, yeah, I'm, you know, I might be going through some stuff, but I know that I'm leading myself well, as sometimes companies go through stuff, but how do you measure you leading yourself well as a person and as a leader? Because self-care is where it starts.
Yeah, I think practically it's, am I, you know, eating well, exercising, am I prioritizing those things? Because there's times where life is always busy. It's busy for all of us, that I'm not finding time for that. And that ripples through my life. And so I think practically I can say, am I working out and am I eating well? Those are wins for me. Outside of that, am I consistently putting myself in a place where I have to reflect that people are asking me questions? These are kind of mastermind study groups, mentor relationships.
Yeah.
And so for me, to the point we've made in other episodes, is that if at rest, I'm not going to head in the best direction, that I need kind of stimulus or accountability to keep myself growing or in a healthy, even just a healthy state. Even if I'm not pushing forward all the time, that I'm just like, I'm resting in a good place.
Yeah.
And so I have, you know, a group called C12 that I'm in once a month. My mentor that leads that, I meet with him once a month. I probably go to counseling twice a month, every other week for 2 hours. And so for me,
the 2 hour blocks are best. An hour is never enough for me. I'm like, we got
to
talk.
Just get to the good stuff. And they're like, yeah. And that's time. Yeah, and you're like, well, I'm going to go talk to a person in the parking lot.
That's right.
I'm not done.
I'm not done. I got more stuff.
Yeah. So for me, I would have to say, as I've found better rhythms, there's the practical side, but there's also just the healthy check-in side.
Yeah, because great, man.
What I don't want is blind spots.
Yeah.
And I don't want too much time to pass to where I'm like, wow, that was a behavior that's snuck up. Because I think things that in our lives that are detrimental typically don't go from 0 to 10 overnight. It's this kind of slow fade.
Yeah.
And I've had those things in my life to where I look back now and I'm like, man, I felt like I was doing pretty good then, but I wasn't.
Yeah. I think that's great. I love the practical nature of that. And again, everything that we produce comes out of our, like, it's like we have to physically do it. And I think that, like if you look at the outcome of your energy, of your mental clarity. I remember when I had COVID and probably the 6 months after that, one of the most difficult parts of recovering was that I would look at something and I couldn't say what it was. It was like, I was working here and we were friends during that part. Like it was, and you're like, you mean you just can't? I'm like, yeah, I'd look at a microphone and I'd be like, that's a microphone, but I couldn't remember what it was called. And I was like, so ask yourself, how much energy do you have at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? Mm-hmm. Most people are crashing. Right. Or when you wake up, what mood are you in? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, do you get good sleep? All these things, they will create great leadership. And so I appreciate you always reminding us, like, self-care, self-leadership will create greater leadership. So I appreciate that as a friend, because there's always this healthy peer pressure.
I would even go as far as saying, if you are leading anyone, it is a calling. And there's somewhat of a moral obligation to stay in a healthy place because you impact a lot of people.
Yeah.
If you're a parent, you impact a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so if right now you are not exercising consistently, aware of your diet, I'm not saying that's perfect. I like ice cream every once in a while. So perfection is not the goal, but like I'm living in awareness of kind of where I stand on these things.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not reading, if you are not seeking, you know, whether it's counseling or mentorship, that I feel like for leaders, to take any confusion out of it, those are a requirement.
Yeah.
And if you are not doing those things well, I challenge you to place a higher level of importance on them, to where it, as opposed to any kind of shame that you don't do these things consistently, whether it's exercise, diet,
No.
reading enough, it's more of this is something you get to do. Yeah. And it's a privilege. And how are you going to embrace that? Because there's a lot of these things now that once you do it, it's hard to start going to the gym for the first time after years.
Sure.
But eventually you're like, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
That it will become a positive habit. But the hardest part, and I love when I see transformations of people, because I'm like, those people went from 400 pounds to 200 pounds.
Yeah.
I've never had to do that. Like, I think I'm a disciplined person, but I think there's this point in all of us of overcoming some big block,
yeah,
and adopting a new way of life. That is so difficult.
Yeah.
So challenging. So it's not easy. But if you can change your mindset to say, this is an opportunity, this is a privilege, versus I got to do these things, I guess I should, because if I don't, I feel bad about myself. Like, that I've found pushes you just into a worse place.
Yeah. Yeah. So make it a positive, make it a positive change, make it a consistent change. And I think those are great, great places to start.
Yep. And if all else fails, buy a cold plunge.
Buy a cold plunge. I thought you were going to say buy Nerds
Plus. Or move to South Dakota and walk outside.
And just walk outside 6 months of the year. All right. Thanks, Tim. Sure.